There's power in numbers. The U.S. has the largest military force in the world, over 2 million active duty service members and soldiers, 1,000 times the nearest other country. It's huge compared to other countries. We have the most modern military in the world. No one even comes close. But the U.S. military is dwarfed by the 2.2 billion Christians in the world, which is expected to reach 2.9 billion by 2050. Do you realize what the church could accomplish if it just disciplined itself and got together to accomplish things in the world? I mean, really, we are huge in numbers. If we just became effective as a church, we could do so much. There is no part of the world today that Christianity has not reached. Even in darkest China, the Christians are operating. Every country. And some give their lives in service to the church, just like the military does. They give their lives in service of freedom. We are a healing place. We, this church, is a place where people come for healing. We are. The family. We are family together. And because of that, people can come here and get freedom from things that they were living with. And there's a lot of stuff people are living with today because the world is trying to lead you astray. Together, we can change the world with Christ guiding us the way and making a way for us, accomplishing things ahead of us. The Holy Spirit changes you. This is a senior master sergeant of the Marines, senior master sergeant of the Army, master chief of the Navy, chief master sergeant of the Air Force. These are the top guys. And that guy might look nice and calm and everything, but you get in his face. And let me tell you something, that guy can open up. Every day. During boot camp, when that guy says, I'm going to be with you every day, those guys were in better shape than we were. And I came out of high school, and I mean, I was running track, and I was doing all kinds of stuff. I had no idea what I could really accomplish. I had no clue. I thought I was giving 100%. No way. The military proved to me that I wasn't giving as much as I really had. And that's one of the things that the military does for you. It shows you, you can just do it. Just do it. Don't ask questions. Just do it. Sir, yes, sir. That's what we said all the time. We didn't just say, sir. We said, sir, yes, sir. It was always, yes, I will do this. Okay? My name's Vin Zan. So I was always the last at everything. I mean, literally, I was the last person. I wasn't tall, so I was the last because my name was Vin Zan. But I was always the first that was volunteered. You notice I said volunteered? I didn't say I volunteered. I was volunteered. You do this. And I said yes. And what I learned is I can really do it. It isn't just that, you know, I think I can do it. No. It gave me the confidence to know that I can do it. If I just made it through boot camp, I can do this. It gave me the ability to do what I've done today. Most of what I've accomplished because of the military discipline. I became the man that I am today because of military discipline. I would not be here. Like you, I was in trouble all the time in high school. I was sitting in jail one time and I thought to myself, geez, if I get out of this, I'm never going back. I made a decision not to do that. And that's what the military gave me. These are the branches, the Army, the Navy, the National Guard, the Coast Guard, the Marines, and the Air Force. That's who defends this nation. We were part of that. I volunteered to go into the military during Vietnam. A lot of you guys volunteered because of 9/11. But we learned honor and courage and integrity, doing the right thing, obedience. I don't do anything that's going to break the law. I do it right because I learned obedience to the rules. Patriotism and self-sacrifice, which you talked about. We went into the military as a sacrifice to our nation and loyalty. I took an oath back then to defend the nation against all powers, foreign and domestic. I still believe it today. I still feel that same in me. And when I look at our country falling apart, I look at it and I say, I'm still loyal to America no matter what. Proficiency does not come from one attempt. Not even dozens of attempts. To do something well demands your concentration and for you to practice mindfulness regardless of how many times you've done that task before. Chuck Norris was born in 1940. He did not achieve eighth level black belt until 1990. It took him 50 years to achieve the eighth level black belt. 50 years of practice, consistent, regular practice to achieve that. You don't achieve anything great without sacrifice and doing it over and over and over again. To go from fourth degree black belt to fifth degree black belt takes a minimum of 5 years of active practice and tournaments. Wow. Can you imagine that? But you gotta find your passion. You gotta find what makes you tick. Then you gotta make it a daily habit. It's gotta be something that you do regularly towards your goal. And then you've got to visualize it. It has to be in here, and you have to daily think about that. And you will accomplish what you choose to accomplish. You look at some of these, Yo-Yo Ma, he's a very famous violinist. He works 3 to 5 hours a day on everything. I mean, can you imagine that? Every day practicing your violin, even though you're the best violinist in the world? And that's what it takes. I mean, have you ever looked at an orchestra? Those are not young people sitting there. There might be a few who are talented beyond belief and born that way, but the majority are not. They accomplished it because they put it together. You have to own it. You got to make it yours. You got a vision, you want to do something, own it. Don't let it aside. Don't let something drift you away from it. You've got to own it. This is powerlifter Tom Beatty, won 2 gold medals and 2 silver medals in the Special Olympics, but his trainer believes his best years are yet to come. Mr. Beatty, 25, from Wisp, represented the eastern region of the UK in Special Olympics. He has Down syndrome. And he won a gold medal in powerlifting. I was in powerlifting. I trained till I was 33 years old in powerlifting. And let me tell you something. It's not easy to do what he did. I was 158 pounds, and I benched 275 pounds. I squatted 450 pounds and deadlifted 450 pounds. And yet, I only won 5th place in the competition. And I worked 3-4 hours a day, every day, Sundays included. I managed my weight. I watched every single thing that I ate. And I worked with a trainer, and I still was only 5th place in competition. But you can do it if it's your goal. You just got to keep at it. Practice. If whatever you're doing isn't important enough to demand your full attention, why do it? Really? If you want to be the best at it, it's got to demand your attention. One of the goals of the military is to break down the mentality that you had in the outside world. And they're going to reform you as a soldier. If you're going to find some life experience, leading to changes in personality traits, one of the best environments for that to happen would be the military experience. It took an undisciplined youth, 17 years old, and transformed me into a disciplined soldier. I mean, literally, I was in trouble all the time. And the military fixed that. Our job as a church is to build you up. The mentality of this world is to tear you down and to build themselves up. But we want to build you up. We want to help you to achieve what you really want to achieve, no matter what it is. Church leaders are there when you have troubles to help you transform, to support you when you fall and build you up in the word. Bingo. That man every day puts himself out just like a leader in the military. Those leaders in the military, that chief master sergeant, he isn't in the back of the troop. He's leading the way. And that's the way it is. The leaders in this church are here to help you, to care for you. High levels of religious belief, as measured by frequent attendance at religious services, dramatically increases the odds that a post-9/11 veteran will have an easier time readjusting to civilian life. According to analysis, a recent veteran who attends religious services at least once a week has a 67% chance of having an easy entry experience. Among post-9/11 veterans who never attend services, the probability drops to 43%. So coming here, getting filled by the Lord, is going to help you to readjust. The people in this church who are working with you, who are loving on you, are helping you to readjust as a military veteran. If the military does not change you once you're back in the real world, do you snap back to your original personality? No, you do not. According to researchers' results, the effect stays with them even some years after they've gone back to school or entered the civilian workforce. You can decide to make changes permanent. You can do that. The Holy Spirit changes that are made to you when you give your life to the Lord, you can decide to make those permanent. You can decide, I'm giving up drugs. I'm giving up smoking. You can decide whatever you want when the Holy Spirit changes you. The military did that for me. Gave me the discipline to be able to say, I'm going to do this. But the Holy Spirit has more power. It can take someone who is a convicted felon and change them into a Christian man walking with God. Following orders. It's striking that the military service can have this long-lasting effect on people, but on the other hand, this reach also underscores that it's really difficult to change a person's personality. Some people in the military do not get changed by the experience, and they end up being just the same person they were before. But the average man becomes disciplined, honorable in the military. If the military service is one of the most intensive experiences imaginable, and the best the military can do is a modest change of one's dimension of following orders, what the military does is teach us to follow orders no matter what the consequence, even if it puts us in harm's way. Christians who are serving in war-torn countries put themselves in harm's way. They could be killed doing what they're doing, but they do it anyway in service to God. We are an army of God. Boot camp is there to show you how to act in the military. It also molds you into more effective of a soldier by giving you the confidence you will need in yourself to survive not only in the battle, but in the real world, as well as learning the meaning of honor and self-discipline. With the Holy Spirit, you find it in yourself the ability to change. Many times we fall into a rut and we don't want to change. I mean, that's the average person. I like things this way. Let's just keep doing it that way. Okay? It doesn't lead to your goal. The Holy Spirit is there to speak to us and guide us in how we will live in the world, how we relate to the world. He wants to show us the confidence, he wants to give us the confidence we need in ourselves to survive in the real world, as well as to learning the meaning of truth and self-discipline. Truth is so important for us to know that we are not lying to ourselves. The Holy Scriptures teach us that. Sometimes, well, God will let circumstances force us to change. Things will happen. And we will have no trust, no other thing we can do except rely on the Lord. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what's good and pleasing and mature. We go from a chrysalis all the way to a butterfly by being changed by God. Military discipline is there to protect us in battle. You see this shield formation that the Romans had? That protected them from lances and spears and swords, and they worked together as a unit. Military discipline. The word comes from Latin for discipulus. And it's instruction, it's knowledge, becoming a disciple. You have to become a disciple of Christ. Once you become a disciple of Christ, he can lead you where you need to go. Training to act in accordance with the rules we drill over and over. When I was in boot camp, we never walked anywhere. If you were going someplace, you had to run or you had to march. You're going to the mess hall. Three guys would get together and they would march to the mess hall. We trained on weapons all the time. We trained on obstacle courses. We trained our minds in classroom. It was constant training to get us fit so that we could operate in the battle zone. Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating us as sons. For what son, if not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're an illegitimate children and not true sons. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while when we thought best, but God will discipline us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The discipline of going to work every day, of doing your job and doing it well, is going to make you prosperous in the long run. Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Are you ready? Can anyone ever be ready? Yes. You put on the whole armor of God. The sword, the shield, the shoes, the boots, the pants, everything. The armor of God. And how do you do that? You do it by reading the scripture over and over and over again. And that protects you from making stupid decisions. This is a soldier. Before he's going into battle, what is he doing? He's praying. That's right. He's putting on the armor of God. Obedience. Act immediately. From day one, military recruits are not taught the value of instant obedience to orders. They're conditioned to the rigorous, rapid, and heavily directive nature of boot camp. Can you imagine D-Day? They're landing on the beaches at Normandy. And if everybody just stood in the things and said, I'm not going out there. No, they don't do that. When they're directed into battle, they run with bullets flying. Sometimes we just have to listen to a trusted advisor and get out of the way of our own healing. A lot of people are told stuff by pastors and by counselors, and they think, that's ridiculous. That's not me. Sometimes you have to listen. You just got to stop. And you just got to do what they're telling you to do. When people are dying all around you and your lieutenant tells you to take the hill, it doesn't do much good to have a bunch of snotty know-it-alls respond with, why don't we stop here and come up with a better idea? The Battle of Iwo Jima was one of the bloodiest battles of the war. Thousands and thousands of soldiers died, but they didn't stop. They kept going. As a Christian church, when you run into obstacles, do you just stop? No. If you are going to accomplish the will of God, you have to keep going and keep going. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that Lisa's done for the church. I mean, as far as the hours she's made. I mean, somebody said to her, you got to raise 10,000 bags. And she said, okay. It's like, really? How are you going to do that? I don't know. I'm just going to do it. And she does. Because God told her to do it. The Word of God helps us avoid the traps of the world. The officer wants to protect as many soldiers as possible while still achieving the objective. You have to still achieve the objective. There's going to be losses along the way, but you got to do it. Do you have people around you who are willing to die for you? Yes, the U.S. military. They're putting their lives on the line to die for you. And who else? Jesus Christ. He put his life on the line for everybody in this church to free them from everything that they're going through. All the chains that were on them, they're holding them down. And it is chains. The more we attach ourselves to this world and to the things of the world, the harder it is to attach ourselves to the things of God. Royal Marine Matthew Crocher threw himself on a Taliban wire grenade to save his comrades and miraculously survived. He threw himself on a grenade. That still happens today. You heard about it from the Second World War. This was in a Taliban when they were fighting the Taliban. This is Nancy Wake. She was a guerrilla fighter during the Second World War. Nancy volunteered to go back into France after she escaped into England. She volunteered to go back in. And she worked as a guerrilla fighter. After the war, Nancy was awarded the George Medal from the British, the Medal of Freedom from the U.S., and the Medaille de Resistance, and three Croix de Guerre from France. Among other honors, she found out that her husband had died in 1943 when the Gestapo had tortured him to find out his wife's whereabouts. He refused any cooperation unto death. Do we Americans even, would we even consider that? I mean, giving our lives even to death to protect someone else? That's what she did. That's what he did. That's her right there. Looks like the nicest little old mom. Sidney Rodney M. Davis threw himself. He was a Marine sergeant. He was fighting a battle in Vietnam, and a grenade landed in the trench where all of his guys were, and he threw himself on it and died in the result of it. You don't have to fall on a grenade, but you can mentor the young. You can feed the poor. You can care for the sick. And you can comfort. I mean, there are a lot of people who need comfort out there. By having compassion and understanding, you can comfort those people. And using what happened to you, you can use that to better other people, to help them when they're in their times. Desmond Doss, Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know if you heard the story about Desmond. But Desmond saved 75 of his comrades, and he carried no weapon. No weapon. He was a medic, combat medic. He kept praying the whole time. I just kept praying, Lord, help me get one more. Benedict's documentary of Doss says, I was praying the whole time. I just kept praying, Lord, please help me get one more. Doss saved 75 men, including his captain, Jack Glover, over a 12-hour period. The same soldiers who had shamed him now praised him. He was one of the bravest persons alive, Glover said. And then to have to end up saving my life was the irony of the whole situation. During boot camp, they tried to get him to quit. They did everything possible to get him to quit. It was only the general of the military that said, no, he can serve without a weapon. A letter from a general came and gave him the ability to serve. President Harry Truman awarded Doss the Medal of Honor in 1945. When the army of God drops to their knees, the war's just about to start. We are the army of God. We are the people, we are the hands of God in this world. If we don't do something, nobody else will. We, the church, the Christians who profess to believe in Jesus Christ. So I want to pray that God refreshes us again and renews us. Lord Jesus, we really do want to serve you. We want to have you at the core of our heart, who refreshes us anew and brings joy into our lives through all the things that we are. We are your children, and we are your hands in this world. Let us do a good work then this day. Let us follow his truth. Let us read his scripture. Let us glorify in the Holy Spirit that he's given us to lift us up. In your holy name, amen.